This is a dark room for photography. Keep the door closed so the darkness does not slip out. Wonderful. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, bringing you the thought for today. And it's a crazy thought. This is a dark room for photography. Keep the door closed so the darkness does not slip out. I went in and had an x-ray done on my teeth the other day, and as I was sitting there, the technician said, just wait here a minute, and I want to see if I get all your teeth and stuff. So then he went into his dark room and closed the door. And on the outside of the door, it said, this is a dark room for photography. Keep the door closed so the darkness does not slip out. And I thought that was rather charming. We can all make rather charming things out of our life. It's just a matter of how we apply ourselves to it. Do you want to make a charming thing out of your life? Do you want to have your life be an exciting adventure where everything works harmoniously for you, where everything is just functioning at peak level? Would you like that?
Yes.
Would you like it to have everyone doing whatever it is that they like to do? Heinz, what do we say? How do we phrase that? Be yourself and have fun. Heinz said you didn't whisper loud enough. Be yourself and have fun. We want everyone to operate at peak performance of be yourself and have fun. Now, how do we be ourselves and have fun? All of us be ourselves and have fun differently from other people, how they are being themselves and have fun. How do people be themselves and have fun? Oh, they have party. They have go do what they want to do. They go fishing and hunting and skiing and sledding, and they go swimming and walking and card playing and bar hopping and stuff like that. That's fun. Oh, my, that is so much fun. And then when you're done doing that, you come back and you say, yeah, that was nice. But what sort of attitude are you left with in your mind and your heart after you come back from such an outing? Obviously, there's nothing wrong with the outing. There's nothing wrong with doing those things. But what sort of feeling do you have about yourself when you come back from it? Say, for instance, you go jogging or just walking in the park. Everyone doesn't like to jog. So you go walking in the park. And you're walking in the park and you see the squirrels sitting there and asking for handouts, and you see the pigeons as they come down and light on your shoulder, and they say, come on, fess up, boy. Don't you have some popcorn for us or something? And then you walk further through the park, and the fish are sticking their nose out of the water. Wah, wah. You know, what about us? What about us? And everywhere you go, people are begging. And you think to yourself, why am I creating this world of begging from me? You know, why am I creating that? And then you begin to recognize your attitude. Are you looking for all the freebies that life has to offer? Or are you looking for however you can contribute yourself, your talent, and your ideals to the world in which you live? Or are you just looking for something for nothing? Ellen and I have had experience with many people looking for something for nothing. And we have found over the years, and there are many, many years, that anyone who seeks something for nothing usually gets it. They get nothing for nothing. Many of them would like to have the course, and they can't afford to pay for it. We say, that's fine. But you cannot have the course for nothing. You have to give us your 100% dedication that you're going to do the course as scheduled, as each lesson is to be done, and turn it in with all your enthusiasm. Or else, you don't get the course. Now, what would we say, you don't get the course? How can we control that they don't get the course? Well, if they don't do it, they don't get the course. Isn't that simple? If they don't do it, they're nothing off our back. We've given them the book. We've given them the materials. We've worked with them in every possible way. And they cheat themselves. There's something divine inside of each one of us that says, go do these things. And that same divine self within us also pays its own way. It also covers whatever its costs are. It has the ability to do it. We have many of our students in Africa who are on a very limited budget. In fact, it's so limited, sometimes it's non-existent. And they have a very limited amount to eat and everything else. And yet, many of those people who had nothing felt the course was so valuable to them, they found the money to pay for it. And they paid for it. And they came in with their pennies, their dollars, they came in with every week, every month, to the course director down in Nigeria and in Ghana. And things are happening beautifully for them. But there are many others who also have the same privilege, who did nothing. And their life just goes from bad to worse. And the people who are taking the courses, wow! Do they have a wonderful impression of themselves? Do they have a wonderful realization of who they are? Now, that's just not Africa alone. It just happens that right at the moment we have more of our students like that there. But we have had students from throughout the United States, throughout the world, who do the same thing. We had one student in Africa who wanted the course very much. And he was an executive in the government. And he took the course. And he passed everything. But he didn't do anything with it. It may have changed his life. But he didn't do much with it. And that's Mr. Kwesi.
He took the titles.
He took the titles. And then he didn't even use the titles outside of his own work with the courses. And you see, if you're not careful, they say here, the darkness is going to slip out of the darkroom. The light is going to slip out of you. And you're going to have lived your period of years. And when it comes to the end, you'll say, what did I do? What benefit did I do to me? How did I have fun during this lifetime? What was going on in this lifetime? What did I do for myself? And then when you come to that answer, you say, I had the golden key in my hand, and I did nothing with it. I had the golden key in my hand, and I did nothing with it. You know, I was reading the Science of Mind magazine for this month, and they do quite a nice job. I was editor there for a couple of years, and they do quite a nice job. But I'm so interested in how celebrity conscious they are. And Tammy Baker, who with her husband ran a very effective ministry in Florida, and they took in millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions in their television shows and their work. But then they did something wrong and they got put in jail. And so Tammy is now, you know, free to do what she wants to do. And I think her husband's still in jail. But she is now the subject for an article in the Science of Mind magazine. And as a subject, they have her picture, which is an unfortunate thing, because she is possibly a beautiful woman, but her mascara is all over her face. She's had plastic surgery and this and that and the other thing. She didn't need it. She's just a very lovely lady by herself, but she had to, you know, be that person that she felt she was. And what did the article direct its attention to? It directed its attention to the philosophy that she taught. And the philosophy that she taught was traditional religion, which is not what Science of Mind teaches. And yet, Science of Mind gives her a 10, 12-page spread and pictures and everything all about her and her non-traditional, that is, non religious science or new thought attitude toward learning philosophy. And I thought, that's very interesting, very interesting. And then another publication jumped into the New Thought magazine, into the Science of Mind magazine, and I thought, that's very interesting. Totally without relationship, but it's in there, and it's advertising the books of Eckhart Tolle, the bestseller. And you see, I cannot emphasize enough that there's nothing wrong with Eckhart Tolle, and there's nothing wrong with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. But the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi teaching the transcendental meditation was very effective and very powerful, except it did not leave you anywhere. It left you empty. You did not have any direction to you as a spiritual master. It didn't say, listen within. It didn't say, go within to that divine center. It just said, practice these outward symbols and you will feel better and act better and live better. And you do. You do. I have practiced the TM program and it was very excellent. Except it did not leave you with any direction. Go down. Mr. Tolle's work, as excellent as it is and as outstanding as it is in the field of modern New Thought thinking, it too leaves you without a direction. You do not have any purpose for yourself. You see, as it is extolled in the book publication, it has no religion, it has no philosophy, it has no purpose. It does not represent anything. It just represents a concept, which of itself is all right. But with that concept, you need a little something extra. And this is how we are. We are all a dark room in which we're doing our photography, and we're revealing what we have on our plates, on our negatives. And as we do not keep the door closed for our own inner awareness, the picture from the plate will slip out the door. If you open the door while you're developing a film, what happens? The image is gone, isn't it? It disappears because the light destroys it if you have not used your developing fluids to develop it and keep it. You see, this is how you are. This is how I am. This is how everyone in the world is. We can all be given a great talent, a great genius. But if we don't have a purpose within ourselves for that genius, the genius is like nothing. Now, you say, what is the purpose of the genius? And the purpose of the genius, very simply, is to be yourself and have fun. That's the only purpose of the genius. Michelangelo was being himself and having fun. Oh, he was angry at times, but that's part of his show. He liked the anger, and he liked this, and he liked that. That's all part of his game. That's all part of our game, too. We like it when we're sick. We like it when we're well. We like it when we're limited. We like it when we're not. And then we say, oh, this is our fate. This is our destiny, you know. And what does that mean when we say this is our fate and our destiny? Well, we're saying something outside of us has a control over who we are inside. And if we ever say that, then what happens? So it is. So we give power to something outside of us over something that's inside of us. A lot of mankind, a lot of humanity, give this power away and then they wonder what happened. They give the power away of being the master of themselves and then they wonder what happened. They don't keep the door of their darkroom closed until they have finished developing their film. They want to rush in and rush out and rush in and rush out. With digital photography today, you can do that. You don't need a darkroom, which is kind of nice. The Polaroid camera was getting close to that, but the digital camera took off from the Polaroid. It's a wonderful thing, a wonderful concept. At one point in our different newspapers, we used Polaroid cameras to do lots of things. And I'd take a shot and a shot and a shot and a shot and ready to go, poof, into the paper. And I knew exactly what I had, knew exactly how it was going to work out. And, but, of course, it was sometimes too small. But it was wonderful. But then the inner genius of some wonderful thinkers came along and brought up the digital photography. And the digital photography seemed to just be sweeping in. And Polaroid says, no, it'll never overtake our Polaroid camera. Never overtake it. So Polaroid sat there for at least 4 or 5 years while the digital field was growing and growing and growing. Finally, it decided it too must go into digital and has done so and is coming back. But you see, we're sometimes afraid. We're sometimes afraid to be ourselves and have fun, just to flow with it. Now, is Eckhart Tolle being himself and having fun?
Yes.
Now, listen carefully to this point. Does he have a purpose in his life?
Yes. Being himself and fun.
Being himself and having fun. Now, is that enough for his readers?
Yes.
Well,
obviously, yes. Because
well, it should be only enough for him.
And if it's enough for him, that's all that matters. But now, is it enough for his readers?
Maybe not.
And the answer is, maybe not. Is it enough for his readers? Are they going to get benefit from this? Why is it that TM, Transcendental Meditation, went shoo right up like a rocket, and then now is almost unknown? Now, wherever it had been, it is not bothered with anymore. Now, we have our wonderful Hindu teachings using breathing. And in Hindu teachings, the breathing is a tremendously important aspect of it. Because breathing doesn't take any intelligence. Breathing, just breathe in, hold it, let it out very slowly, very slowly, very slowly, very slowly. And what are you doing? You are, in effect, hyperventilating. You are, in effect, putting more oxygen into your system. And when you have more oxygen in your system, you're a little more alert. You're a little more alive. If you don't have, 95% or 93% or over 90% at least, of oxygen in your system, you're not doing well. And there's a lot of people who don't have that amount of oxygen in their system, and they're not doing well. But how do we handle it for ourselves? Do we need to have a goal given to us to use the TM or to use Eckhart's works or to use whatever? No. They each had being themselves and having fun as their criteria. They did. And we each can read what they have, and from our own spiritual background, our own input that we give it to ourselves, it can be very beneficial to us. But only beneficial to us if we put that input into it. Now, Eckhart's book isn't going to give you that input. Transcendental Meditation isn't going to give you that input. Nothing's going to give you that. Only you are going to give you that input. What are you meditating about? What are you listening introspectively to your divine center about? What are you doing with what you have? That's the big point. Now, do you know what you're doing with what you got? And the answer is quite likely not. You don't know what you're doing with what you've got because you don't know what you have. And the best way to find out what you have is to say, I have. I have a beautiful mind. Is that so bad?
No.
I have a beautiful body. I have a beautiful world I live in. I am master of everything I do. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, aren't you a big head, you know? No. This is just the truth. And this is just where we stand. So, though we don't have to really worry about the darkness slipping out of the dark room, we do have to be alert that as we read these various things, we don't find them a means to an end in themselves. Transcendental Meditation is not a means to an end in itself. In other words, it does not have the golden pot at the end of the rainbow of TM or of Eckhart or of any of these things. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
The golden pot is you. The golden pot is me. We're at the end of that rainbow. And that rainbow is an opening up of our awareness of who we are and what we have. And when we're open to that awareness, then we begin to express it and enjoy it and have a great time at it. So think on these things as your thought for today, and realize that it's not what you put into your mouth, but it's what comes out. It's not the thoughts you put into your mind, but it's the thoughts that come out. While it's true, we should be careful of what we feed into our mind, because we want to have it to come out. It's not what goes in, because we can ignore things that go into our mind if we wish. But we should never ignore what comes out, being very careful that everything we say and do is an expression of who we really are. So think on these things and have a good time. Have a good day, and know that I love you very much, and I see every good thing happening to you constantly.
Thank you.
I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.